From the studios at WMFE in Orlando, Florida, this is the Space Exploration Podcast, asking the question, are we there yet? Do you remember going on road trips as a kid? You'd be all cooped up in a car for what seemed like forever, and maybe you were like me, had an annoying little brother you had to deal with for those 10 to 12 hours you were in the car. Sorry, Colin. Did you miss your friends from home while you were away? Well, imagine being cooped up like that for 6 months. Well, that's the typical mission duration on the International Space Station. So how do astronauts put up with each other for that long? And how do they make that tin can in the sky a bit more like home? Well, my guest this week is a sociologist, and she's hoping to answer some of those questions. They're important questions to ask, especially when you consider a trip to Mars is at least 6 months, and that's just one way. So Phyllis Johnson is the principal investigator on the At Home in Space study and an associate professor of sociology at the University of British Columbia. Thanks for joining us.
And I'm pleased to be here.
So Phyllis, let's talk about this At Home in Space study. So where are you conducting this research, and what are you hoping to find out?
Well, we're conducting the research on the International Space Station, but we're also doing, it's a questionnaire study, and we're collecting data pre-flight, so about 6 months before they go into space, and then we have two administrations of it while they're in space. And then another advantage is we look at what happens after they have been in space. So we also do that longer term. Usually in psychological and sociological research, we tend to look at it just, say, within a month or two after they have returned. And we are going to be able to assess some of the changes that might have occurred, positive as well as negative changes, if there are any, to see what happens 6 months after they have returned from space. The specific kinds of things that we're looking at are culture and space. We think that, there's been quite a bit of research done on intercultural interactions and training to have people getting along well in space. And so we're not dealing with that. What we're looking at is to see, does the space culture develop? And everyone believes that it probably does develop, that there is something that is beyond what the agencies are, that they're working together, they're having a pattern where they are thinking about what their agencies want them to do, but also what they as a group and a team there would be doing. And so we're calling that space culture, and we're trying to see how they adapt to that and if they basically are acculturating to a space culture. Some typical kinds of examples of space culture would be that you have ceremonies and celebrations, handover ceremonies from different crews, and then celebrating some of the kinds of things that happen while you're in space. So different milestones for the group that's up there, as well as, well, one of them that was just recently celebrated would have been April the 12th, Cosmonautics Day, which is the first time in space by Gagarin, and so that is one that's often celebrated. I think it is almost always celebrated. So things like that and how they do that. We're also looking at what we call at home in space and how they make the environment in which they're living more like home, and how they personalize their quarters, what they do to make their leisure activities different, enjoyable, so that they feel like they really are sort of at home in the space station or on the space station, and that they also have thoughts of and are connected to home and family on Earth and how they go about doing that.
How much freedom do astronauts have to do stuff like that, to make a space their own or to do those leisure activities? You know, one might think that, you know, these agencies down here on the ground have, you know, a very scripted, agenda-driven day. Do they have a chance to kind of make it their personal space?
Yes. What got me interested in this is that, they are very scheduled. Yes, that is true, and they have to be at this point. But they also have some autonomy, and there's a view that when we're thinking of going to Mars, that there'll be more free time and more kinds of space, that they'll have to learn how to do things. So some are saying that we need to go back to looking at what happened during the exploration expeditions that we had, Lewis and Clark and all of those, to see what had happened then and how they took care of the, you know, huge expanses of time when they didn't have work to do. And what really got me interested in this, I was looking at some of the oral histories that have been collected on the astronauts from the early days from Skylab on to the space missions now. And I looked at some of the kinds of things that they were doing in space, and they were doing things such as personalizing their leisure. So, yes, they have to exercise for prevention of osteoporosis, but what they were really doing was making it fun while they were doing it. And I think Tim Peakes as well did this, but Suni Williams was maybe the first one who ran the Boston Marathon while she was in space, and that was part of what she was doing in trying to make her exercising even more interesting to do. And when they look out the window, they sometimes have specific kinds of things that they're doing, not just looking into space, but identifying some of the kinds of things that remind them of family on Earth, of different places they've lived on Earth, and various things like that. So that's some of it. They also really do space traditions and develop those and have various celebrations. Now, NASA is always very good at having some of these activities available, so they decide which activities they're going to do, which celebrations, and if there's a birthday that they want to celebrate, they'll do that as well. And then they have the connections to Earth. You know, if there's a favorite football team that's playing, then they might be able to have that one shown live so that they can see what is going on, so that they feel like they're really part of the Earth setting as well. So they do a lot of this kind of thing. And that's what I found when I was looking through the archival, and that from the early days from Skylab and Mir and then the ISS, there was quite a bit being done to show how they really made it a very, you know, it's a very exciting place anyway, and they're doing a lot of work, but they also were very creative about how they added additional things to that.
Yeah, I know that they'll share meals when new astronauts will come up. The Russians will share with the Americans and vice versa. I mean, how important is that to morale on an overall mission?
Well, I think it. They seem to think that it is important, too, and I would say that it is important that sometimes, you know, just like on Earth, you get very busy and you don't have time to take out for lunch or to have a leisurely time with your family or with your friends. But those are the bonding kinds of things where you get to know the people. So they will do some of their leisure activities together, and they usually try to do some of the meals together as well.
Now,
I think of Chris Hadfield, who was a Canadian commander a few years ago, that he, you know, was famous for playing his guitar and everything else, but there were a lot of activities that they do together, and if you look at it over time, music is one of those, as well as the interaction with people on Earth and setting up specific ones that they might want to interact with.
Now, is this the first study of its kind of looking at this so-called space culture, as you say?
Yes, as I said, there have been studies that have looked at and training coming up with how you could get along to be better interculturally. And this one is really looking at, is there a space culture there, or is it still a situation where you think first of your agency rather than thinking of this culture that's developing there? And what does that do then for the morale? And how do they acculturate to that? Are there certain dimensions that they do, such as in eating and food and related to that? Or do they look at things like their accomplishments on the mission, that they see it as that group, not the agency's success, but their group and their team's success in doing it. So, yes, it is the first one on this.
And how long is the study? This is for the duration that they're on mission, which is about, what, 6 months?
Approximately 6 months, 5 months to 6 months, right. And we would have two administrations of the questionnaire that would be assessing being at home in space. Now, we do have some other things that we look at pre- and post-flight that are that are things like what their values are and how those might have been changed or enhanced or altered by what occurred on the space station for them. And then the other thing we're looking at is work and family interactions and the role of family as a support for them while they're in space.
What role does family play play now for astronauts on the International Space Station?
I think mainly it is frequent communication, and being there in that supportive role seems to be what shows up from the archival information. I don't know yet what's going to show up from their reports of information, but that communication, sending them items in the care packages that go up. Families are, they have restrictions on what they can do for those because of the size of the package. But it is something that they really think a lot about things that would be important, special foods, special items, and even letters, pictures, things like that are important, even though we have a lot of communication between the families and the astronauts that are there. But those kind of tangible objects are sometimes pretty important, it seems.
You know, we kind of, picture astronauts as these kind of, superhero, almost like military robotic folks up there. Is homesickness a real challenge that they have to get over, and it's something that mission planners think about?
I don't think it would be homesickness at all. I think it is that it's how rather they actually see the space station as home, because that would be something that is good and that would be helpful for them to say, I'm home. And when you read through the archival information and through different interviews, you'll see that they'll say, oh, it's like being home again. I really feel at home. And maybe some of the crew left, like the shuttle, when they were going up. When the shuttle left, they'd say, now it feels like home. We can get our home back in order to the group that was there, because the shuttle was just there for a short period of time, and you had extra people there. And then it was back to what it had been before they came. And they use those references a lot when they're talking about it. And I think it gives them a sense of community and a sense of feeling like they, this is where I'm home away from home, could be another way of thinking about it.
Mm-hmm. That's interesting.
So they may miss home, they may think about their family, but they're also happy to be there and feeling like they are at home and creating that as a home. And I think as well that we'll probably see that that connection to family and the ability to have that doesn't, we don't know yet for sure how that affects how they feel at home on the space station. But it could be because they're able to be connected to family. They don't feel like they're really not a part of family on Earth, that they have both worlds there.
What about conflict? I'm thinking, if I, as growing up as a kid, I'm in the van with my brother on a road trip for 12 hours, and we could barely stand each other, How do astronauts who are on this, tin can for 6 months handle conflict?
I think they're highly trained to figure out how to do it. Sometimes it is there have been instances where they may not have talked to each other when they were up there, not astronauts necessarily, but cosmonauts, astronauts. And so what you do then, one way to deal with conflict is to absent yourself from that until you're able to deal with it, and so they might do that. But one thing that does show up in some of the psychological is the importance of social support and of getting along as a group, and that tends to to problem solve. You can do planful problem solving and coping with stresses, but if you don't have that support, then it's more difficult to do, and the research seems to show that social support is critical. So they do come up with ways of dealing with it so that it does not affect the mission. And they're highly trained in ways of doing this, I think.
So your at-home in space study, you're looking to kind of define that space culture, kind of find out what these astronauts do to make that that International Space Station their home. Is the plan to be able to cultivate that space culture for future missions, or do you think that space culture has to happen organically and within the astronauts themselves?
I think that there would be some commonalities that you could train for in the future. Just like you could say, well, what's important about doing some of the different kinds of activities? You know, like, why would it be important to have food together? And so you could, and have meals together, to cook together, to come up with entertainment together. I'm thinking of another study that we did, which was on Arctic whalers and explorers back in the previous century, turn of the previous century. And one of the things that happened there is they did a lot of things because they had to create their entertainment. They would give lectures, they'd read about things, and they would give lectures that the rest of the crew could attend. They wrote newsletters, they did artwork, they put on performances, different things like that. Maybe when they go to Mars, they might then need to be even more creative because they won't have some of those connections to Earth. They might have to decide what to take along and how they can use that and maybe get back to some of those earlier kinds of things that you used to do to entertain oneself. And, you know, you won't have your iPhone necessarily there and the Internet as readily available. So there are all of those kinds of things that you could look at to see if it's helping to, like, and we do have questions that are on their coping behaviors and their positive experiences, positive growth. And so we can see that if space culture is developing, what is the impact on some of these other psychological variables? And then I think we can come up with some countermeasures, some ways of training so that they would be able to incorporate that in future missions. But I think right now what has happened is they've figured this out themselves. They have been creating ways of making the environment pleasant for them and the experience even more enjoyable than it would be just as it is. So they're creative in doing a variety of things to make it better.
Now, Phyllis Johnson, this study lasts for approximately 6 months, but, you know, a trip to Mars will be longer than that. Are there plans to study this on a longer scale or even maybe looking back at Scott Kelly and the Year in Space participants?
Yes, we're not in on the year-long study. Basically, they were looking for people who had done research before with them, and so they were had baseline data on them on a number of different measures, so they were looking at that. I do believe that from some of the information that I saw, the journal study by Dr. Jack Stuster, that they may have participated in that, and so there would be some possibilities of having information about their daily life there that wouldn't be necessarily in public journals. But yes, you would need a longer time to see how it would have an impact. Most of the similar kinds of research had been conducted with shorter crew times, and so this is the first that's looking at it longer term for some of the psychological measures as well.
Gotcha. Now we've been talking most of the time about what happens, you know, during a mission while they're in space. What about when astronauts return home? What are you looking for as they transition to a more terrestrial, more traditional family life?
Okay, we're looking at how does that adjustment go, because it's quite unique. Now, some of the astronauts have been there two, maybe three times, and I think in coming times there will be more that have been up there at least two times. But it is such a unique experience. And the family participates in it, but from afar, they don't quite know how that experience is really like, what it's really like. And I think when you come down, from some of the research on values, what seems to show is that they're more other-directed. They have, they're not necessarily focused on themselves and so forth. But it's such an experience that they're not, you know, how do they adjust afterwards? Like, one thing we've been seeing with some of the astronauts is some of them are retiring not long after that. And so they not only have that pinnacle of experience that they've had, but what's going to happen now as they move into another phase of their career. And so we won't know whether it's just moving into another phase of the career or if it is some other impact on the family interactions that they have. And this is one reason we want to look at it longer term, at least 6 months after they've returned, because then you're over that initial excitement of being back and the family's initial excitement of seeing you and knowing that you're here for a period of time. And yes, you're still going to be busy because of all the work involved with post-flight, but we don't know what the longer term is. And I'm speaking again about some of the research that's been done in the Antarctic. That's the only analog environment that's done anything long term, and that was 6 months. And they said that there were changes that were observed, but they didn't study them extensively. So we're hoping that we will have some idea as to what happens at least 6 months post-return.
Obviously, space agencies like NASA, Canadian Space Agency, ESA, they're all going to be very interested in your findings for long-duration missions on both the International Space Station and possibly a mission to Mars. Where else do you think that the findings from this study could apply? Could they be applied to other industries or other explorations here on Earth?
Yes, they could. Some of it could be for the military, although the military has had a tremendous amount of research on work-family interactions, and the kinds of risk and involvement there are slightly different. So, but that would be one. The analog environments that we look to for information, the Antarctic, they haven't studied. There's been one person who'd really studied some related to work and family, but most of them have not. And so it could have implications for that, offshore oil drilling and so forth, any kind of isolated environment where you would be for a period of time for work. Could it even say that just long, any kind of mission where you're away for a while from your family could be a possibility for that, even truck drivers who have periodic kinds of absences from home for long periods of time. But mainly thinking of the analog environments would be what we're thinking of mostly.
Looking forward to those results. Phyllis Johnson is the principal investigator on the At Home in Space study and an associate professor of sociology at the University of British Columbia. Phyllis Johnson, thanks so much for joining me.
You're welcome. Thank you.
Well, that about does it for this episode. Support for Are We There Yet? Comes from the listeners of WMFE. You can follow this show online. We're on Twitter at AWTYMars, or you can reach out to me in the Twitterverse. I'm at SpaceBrendan. And be sure to leave us a review on iTunes if that's how you listen to us. That's how more people learn about this podcast and can join us for the conversation. Are We There Yet? Is a production of WMFE. Our theme music was composed by Kevin McLeod, and you can find more space news from us online at wmfe.org/space. Once again, I'm Brendan Byrne. Thanks for listening.